They'd say, you worked in the riveting department, or you're Rosie the Riveter.
My family would joke and say, well, you know, she's Rosie the Riveter now.
The familiar image of Rosie the Riveter symbolized women's strength and courage during World War II. Thousands of women here in Maine lived the life of Rosie and her co-worker Wendy the Welder when they took jobs at the Liberty Shipyards in South Portland. Nearly 3,700 women worked in the South Portland yards, and millions of other women worked in industrial jobs around the nation. Welcome to the Homefront Veterans Oral History Project. WMPG and Portland Harbor Museum collected 35 interviews with former workers at the Liberty Shipyards in South Portland, Maine. I'm Stephanie Philbrick, and in this edition, we'll hear about the women who worked at the South Portland Shipbuilding Corporation. It's reported that nearly 50% of adult American women were employed at some time during the war. Married women took jobs at a higher rate than ever before, but two-thirds of women going into industrial jobs were experienced workers. Still, women who worked in the shipyards were put into jobs that they'd never thought of doing, like welding and riveting. They were entering a man's world, and that first step into the yards was a scary one, as Doris Burney, Rita Desolets, and Jean Robbins explain.
I didn't scare very easy either, and still don't, but I was, I'm telling you. No, I thought I'd get lost and never find my way out of here. Scared to death.
My heart was in my throat, I'm telling you. I thought, oh my God, I can't go up that. But if you wanted to work, if you wanted to do that job, you had to. There was no other way.
It seemed that we did as good a job as the men would have done after we got started. After you got finished being scared.
By 1943, the nation was facing a severe labor shortage. The federal government launched a campaign to bring more women into the workforce with slogans like, "Do the job he left behind." Newsweek reported in September of 1943 that the country needed over 3 million new people in the workforce and that most of those workers would have to be women. The Maine legislature addressed this issue by extending the number of hours women were allowed to work each day from 9 to 10 hours. Rita Desolets and Jean Robbins remember.
They didn't have any young men to do it. To run cranes, I guess you have to be steady, you know. And I guess the foreman figured that we were steady enough to do it as girls, you know. And they had no choice. There wasn't any boys.
Had it been peacetime, the men would have been doing it. But because wartime, the women. So we felt that we were, you know, helping out because they weren't so much need of the ships. You know, somebody had to do it, and there was no men around, so we had to.
We really, truly believed in the war and truly believed what we were doing was really very important because there weren't any men. It was a very patriotic time.
I think the thought of women working was just simply another patriotic dimension. Everybody's going to pitch in and do what they have to, women, children, and men. Of course, women getting into some of the more exotic jobs, such as welding, was quite new in the minds of, I think, all people. But people did things that they had never done before.
But there was resistance to women working in heavy industry. Esther Walker, a rivet passer in the shipyard, recalls how she dealt with an uncooperative male co-worker.
You'd pick him up and throw him this way. Well, you can't do that because there's too much force behind it. And he'd hit the passes. Well, he did it with me once. I put my togs down and I walked right up to him. I said, I'll tell you right now, the next rivet that hits me is coming back and hits you. And it did. He hit me and I picked that thing up and I drove it back at him. And he had a pair of bib overalls on. And they went right down inside of that bib, burped his shirt right out. I never troubled him after that. He just didn't like the idea of having a woman. He wanted a man passer. He was going to take it out on me. But you just had to fight for your rights, that's all.
There are a lot of women that didn't think we belonged over there. They thought it was men's work and that women should find other ways to support the troops, like staying home and working for the Red Cross and stuff like that.
Making history, working for victory, Rosie the Riveter.
Women struggled to do their patriotic duty while still meeting society's expectations for them. The public perception of women welders was that they were rough women who liked to have a good time. But most of these women were hard workers who were much too tired to do anything after working 10 hours a day, 7 days a week. However, industrial cities and naval ports around the U.S. saw an influx of what was called victory girls, runaway girls and unemployed young women wanting to be where the men were. And Portland did have a public safety problem during the war that included unchaperoned young people, a spike in sexually transmitted diseases, and an increase in rape. Not everyone wanted their wives and daughters working in the shipyards, as Gloria Stover remembers.
They didn't think it was such a great idea. You know, we were pretty innocent then, and I think they thought of their daughter over there with all those men, and there were terrible stories that went around at what happened in the shipyards. And when you got on the bus was mostly full of men. And they'd all say, come sit here, sweetie. You can sit here. Come on down here and sit. And, of course, we were decked out in our coveralls and a kerchief, no hair showing. It was not a glamorous outfit at all. We started out on the night shift, and they put most of the single people on the day shift, the single women, because when we went down into the bottoms of the ships to work, you had an extension light. And the guys would go by and pull the light out, jokingly, and of course you'd be down there in the pitch black. Anything could have happened to you down there. I don't know what, because there wasn't room for two people down there, but if they had anything in mind, there was a way they could have done it, I suppose.
They didn't allow me to go down to the inner bottom, which I was very, very pleased they did not, because men got fresher with the women.
You would know when the woman come around, because you'd hear the whistles and so on.
Another issue for many women was how to raise their children while working 50 to 70 hours per week. The government provided funding for child care, but despite this, daycare hours did not always match shift work, and only one all-day center was operating in the area. That was on Chestnut Street in Portland, not at all convenient for most shipyard workers. Doris Burney had come to South Portland from Aroostook County to work as a welder. She and many other women were forced to leave their children with family when they took jobs in the shipyards.
Went home, hid the baby, and when I was well, and the doctor said it was okay, I left it with my parents and went back to work in the shipyard. The biggest part of my money went home to my father because he needed it, and they kept my baby while I worked in the shipyard.
They've got kids at home, and they're out there, mothers, grandmothers. Yeah, those are the unsung heroes, I think.
I read a poster on the bus that said, become a cadet nurse. So I actually went into the program run by the government for nursing because there was such a shortage of nursing then. And the money I made in the shipyard actually supported me while I got through training.
Women understood during the war that they were temporary workers. As the war approached an end, some, especially young, unmarried women like Gloria Stover, began to look for other options. The workers who had supported the war on the home front, women, teenagers, and older men, were expected to make way for the returning veterans who would need jobs. And even if women did work outside the home, they knew that they would have little opportunity to use their new skills. Society's expectations for them were keenly understood. Rita Desolette spent the war as a crane operator, but knew that her chances to continue that work were limited.
No, I would have loved to, but I would have had to leave town. And at the time, I was old enough to get married, you know, and Paul had been away for 5 years, so I didn't know. But it would have been a wonderful job because I loved it.
They couldn't have gotten those ships out at the rate of speed they did without us. There was a pile of women worked in there, a pile of them.
Oh, yeah, I was one of them. I'm proud to be.
The Homefront Veterans Oral History Project is a joint project of WMPG and Portland Harbor Museum. This program was produced by Stephanie Philbrick. Funding was provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Institute for Museum and Library Services. In-kind support was provided by the Shipyard Brewing Company. A special thank you goes out to Ted Jordan and his American History class at Cape Elizabeth High School. And of course, this project would not have been possible without the men and women who built Liberty ships during World War II. For more information about this project or to hear additional clips from these interviews, click on the Rosie the Riveter icon on the WMPG website at www.wmpg.org.